Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello and welcome to episode 2, season 1 of The Ball Bags. You're joined by myself, the Sasquatch, and the chief of controversy that is the coach. How are you, mate? Are you all good?
Again, another week, still here. Your lad didn't last long, did he?
Yeah, obviously, apologies have been sent in by the bottom feeder athlete. He will be in attendance next week. I'll remember that the week you're scheduled to be away as well. Yeah, look, a busy weekend, a lot to get through. We'll kind of go through our player of the weekend. We're only going to do one debate in our agree to disagree, but we're also going to look to do a brief overview of the Premier League this year, but maybe 5 questions from myself thrown towards a resident expert, the coach. And in return, NFL also kicked off this season, this weekend, so the coach might lobby some questions back at me, even though I am far from an expert. Then we'll get down to agree to disagree. We're going to have a quick look ahead to the United Rugby Championship, which is coming in 2 weeks' time. Follow it up with the final segment of the day, which is Have You Seen This? So we actually have a few, I think, for this that we might, all from America, but we'll bring them all in. So, coach.
Yes, sir.
Player of the weekend. We were split this week.
The one I put forward isn't one I ever wanted to put forward, nor did I ever think I would, but I think Cristiano Ronaldo has to get a mention, doesn't he? Like, I mean, it's one of those situations that It couldn't have gone any better for him. Now, I don't know if he's paid off that keeper, but he was brutal. Like neither of them 2 goals should have gone in.
Yeah, look, it's Newcastle are in a. They seem to be perennially in a dark place. I'm not sure when it'll end, I know how it'll be remembered, but you'd have to query the Mike Ashley reign in Newcastle. It's not the club I grew up watching in the 90s and the early 90s. They were always kind of a top half side as a child, as a youth. And they're far from that now. So, strange. The second player of the weekend, we obviously went with Chandler Jones, brother of MMA royalty and John Bones Jones. 5 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss and 2 forced fumbles last night in a trouncing of the Tennessee Titans by the Arizona Cardinals. There was a lot of honourable mentions, none of which were in a Mayo jersey. I think we get that out there straight away. A disappointing All-Ireland final, to say the least. Yeah, so I think we'll crack on. There's not an awful lot to be said about the All-Ireland final.
No, it's a disgrace. Look, sorry, go on.
I wouldn't say sport now, but
Jeez. Oh, we're going to be shot.
yeah, I suppose. Look, the attention does turn this week to the Champions League, which kicks off in earnest. We record now on a Monday night. Episode's published on a Wednesday, so we don't fully know the score in the Everton-Burnley game, but we'll leave it there. So, with a quick overview of the English Premier League, I've 5 questions stacked here for the coach. You ready to kick this on?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, the question you're most looking forward to, we get it over and done with. Fairy tale second debut for Ronaldo. Can he sustain production over the course of the season?
I've been telling people, yourself, friends, I just can't see how this was a good business, but it did, don't get me wrong, it went really, really well for him and for them and for fans. I couldn't believe every single one of my Instagram stories this weekend was people at the United game, like Irish people at the United game, which, number one, during the COVID time, I actually couldn't believe. I thought it was how everyone got a ticket as well. But look, a lot of people seem to go, but I just think the minute they go through a little bit of a rough patch, I just have a feeling it could crumble. Like, let's be honest, defensively they don't look in any great shape. But I suppose the question being, can Ronaldo sustain it? Of course Ronaldo can sustain it. He's one of the greatest of all time. And What will get him through those lulls is him being on set pieces, which I think is where the downfall of Bruno Fernandes comes in. Like, if Ronaldo goes 3-4 games of a dry spell, you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to be on every set piece.
True. They're saying that Bruno's goal on the weekend was...
Oh, it was special. It was special. But let's be honest, United going forward, they looked like they were brilliant. They were a great side. It was great to see for, you know, okay, I'm a Liverpool fan, but like to have United competing again is excellent, like for the league, I think. And it's probably excellent for Ronaldo coming into the league too, for the neutral fans. But because of the way the two goals went in, I think had that been any other team or keep, I'm not convinced they would have gone in, and maybe it looks a little bit different.
It's true. Like I do understand where you come from. I suppose, like, the thing for me anyway is, and rightly or wrongly, there always seems to be more interest, more explosive games when United are involved in the title challenge.
Mm.
If that makes sense. So it is good to see them challenging. So, look.
But I do wonder how they're going to keep them all happy. Like, you look at those front three positions. You got Ronaldo, like, Martial, Rashford, Greenwood, Cavani, Sancho, Lingard, arguably. Pogba has played. Okay, he's a midfielder, but he could potentially move into one of the wider. He could potentially. Sorry, there's a lot of fireworks going off in the background, though. You can pick them up. But there's a lot of. He could potentially. Fireworks, not about Ronaldo. But, yeah, I just wonder how they're gonna keep those six people happy in a front three positions. Okay, they've got Champions League football, which is going to help. But, yeah. I still think they need to plump up the midfield. Sorry, yeah, that was way too much time spent on Ronaldo here tonight.
Yeah, and there's probably a very unhappy Dutchman on the bench as well, which is going to become more and more of a distraction. We're moving swiftly on. Probably a good sight for Irish fans over the weekend.
Apologies if I
butcher this, but Andrew Omobamadele,
nice,
gave an assured performance in his Premier League debut for Norwich. If Norwich go down, as they are slated to do and have done so over the previous number of years, is it better for his development to go down with Norwich or try and find a more established Premier League side? I'm thinking maybe like a Palace or someone of that ilk that maybe isn't going to be challenging for Europe, but almost secure the same.
I think it would be a massive stretch. I would actually see him going the opposite way. I think he's been quite lucky with injuries and stuff at Norwich. You look at Ozan Kabak coming in at Liverpool last season, who probably will eventually get in the team ahead of him. I think he's probably had it really, really lucky. I could see him ending up at like a Huddersfield type of club. I don't think he's been brilliant for us. I think he needs a couple of years more development before we can talk about him staying at an established club in the Premier League. I can't see anyone, if Norwich went down, going out to get him, to be honest. I'm trying to think of the equivalent. Might be maybe Connor Masterson, that was at Liverpool, who went to QPR, and now all of a sudden he's in League One with, off the top of my head, who's he with is it Cambridge where Wes Houlihan is? I see his career going the opposite way, maybe a little bit at a higher end League One or a championship level club before he moved on up. I just can't see if Norwich go down. Staying at Norwich, I think, would be an incredible achievement for him. If Norwich, which by all means they look like they will probably get relegated, let's be honest, even at only four games in, I don't see much hope for him staying up. I think staying at Norwich and getting game time next year in the championship would be the best outcome for him.
If you haven't guessed by now, I'd just like to point out that all the questions featured on today's show are classic overreactions. We're only 4 weeks into the Premier League and we're a week into the NFL. Haven't even played the final round, the final game of the round. But moving swiftly on, and this is up there. Leicester's second loss of the season, albeit to City and what are an ever-improving West Ham. Is there concern that they will make a regression this season?
Yes, I think they're they haven't really improved the squad. As good as Rodgers has been for the squad, he's very good with the players at his disposal, generally. But I think there is limits on that as well. Like, there is, he's probably got the best out of him for 3 years now, and he didn't really make any massive signings. Vardy's on probably the latter end of his career. Yeah, he's still going to get you goals, but look, he's, what is he? I think he's 30. He's almost 35. I think Iheanacho,
shades of Poch at Spurs, I think, towards the end, potentially.
Yeah, maybe. They're probably going to lose Tielemans, you'd imagine, in January, if not January, probably the summer, you'd imagine. I could see someone like United going in for Wilfred Ndidi, just to plump up that midfield. I think he would have been the perfect signing for United. The one thing I will say, they do get young, good players coming through, but I'm just not sure it's the players they need to spring back up into second, third, fourth place. You look at, like, Johnny Evans at the back, people like that. They haven't really strengthened, and that's where they're always seem to be a team in development. Not transition, but development, if that makes sense. I see them maybe somewhere between 6th and 8th.
Okay. Again, in the line of reactions, and I'm cognizant of the fact that at the time of recording, we're currently 23 minutes into the Everton-Burnley fixture. Scores nil all. This could age absolutely terrible. But Burnley languishing in the drop zone. Can Dyche avoid the drop?
I think he's done it for so long in terms of done well for them, but I think Norwich are going to go. I think Newcastle are going to go. And for me, it's between Burnley and Watford then, if they don't drag Arsenal in. But
well, look, everyone was on about Ronaldo. No one talked about the technical genius of Arteta getting Arsenal from 20th to 16th on the weekend.
Yeah. I can't. No. Look, they have to come good. No, I think with Burnley, it's a funny one because I don't think Leeds are as bad as 18th place. They are a great side. They've had, you look at the fixture they've had so far, they've had a tough, like, so I mean, I do see them coming good. Now, I think they probably deserve a bit of bad luck after the treatment they've given Harvey Elliott over the weekend with the injury. I know Leeds, I've always said Leeds and Elland Road is a place I'd love to go and visit for a game because I just think they create an unbelievable atmosphere, but I thought it was pretty a little bit over the line maybe on the weekend. Some of the chants that were sang and stuff aimed at young Harvey Elliott. Like, but, and you know, you get that and fans are back and they're getting overexcited and whatever, but a few points in that. Like, but it just, I wouldn't like to see Leeds go down. I think they're a really good side to watch. Really good side to watch. Yeah. But does Dyche get Burnley out? It'd be touch and go. Really touch and go. I think Watford would be lucky to stay up as well. Again, nice team, nice players, but I'm not sure they have it in them.
Okay. Well, in a similar vein, I suppose, 4 weeks in, who are your favourites from what you've seen to go down or narrowly avoid? So you can potentially, we've listed Norwich, we've listed Newcastle, we've thrown Burnley in there. If you had to throw in another three sides into the mixer for relegation fodder, who would they be?
Watford have said in there. Southampton are a nice team again, similar to Leicester. They haven't, they're almost like a lower half Leicester side in that they haven't really done it with the squad. They haven't really improved the squad. They haven't really made much. Okay, Kyle Walker,
lost Ings too as well.
Lost Ings was a massive loss. Like, where their goals come from? Their goals aren't going to come from, like, Shea Adams isn't really a goal. Sorry, he scores goals, but he's not, you know, a 20 goal a season man. He's a great assist man. I'd love him at Liverpool as a second striker, nearly as a plan B. But instead of Divock Origi, they call him. But like Shane Long, he's probably, they've kept him around. Like, I like Shane Long, he's a great player. He done a job for Bournemouth last year, but that's probably the levels he's at now, like, you know. So I think Southampton needed a nice bit of an overhaul in January, or they're getting really dragged in there, like. I have Norwich, Newcastle, Watford, Southampton. Wolves are surely too good to get dragged in there, I would have thought.
I'd like to think there's an awful lot of investment into Portuguese talent, but talent nonetheless.
Yeah, so it's probably your Norwich, your Newcastle, your Burnley, your Watford. They're the four probably split between the three places. Don't see Leeds staying in 18th for too long. Correct. Yourself? Any raise on that?
I don't see Norwich staying up. Newcastle and Burnley are the same for me in terms of I don't see them going down. I've seen them being able to just pull it out of the bag. But in the same ilk, I don't see both of them being able to pull it out of the bag. Watford, I think, yeah, is a good shout. Like, I mean, they're a great opening day of the season to win against Villa. But yeah, probably Norwich, Watford, and I'm going to say Burnley, because even though he's kept them out of the drop over the last, let's say, 3 to 4 years, they've still been slowly regressing.
Yeah, they've kind of overstayed their welcome, if you want.
Yeah, like, let's be honest, when you start talking about these big leagues, like your Premier Leagues, your NFLs, your NBAs, you have to be constantly looking to progress, and they haven't looked to progress. Mm. Like, it's okay to come up and survive the first season, but you have to do a Wolves. You have to look to, how do we get to the middle of the table now? How do we, like, look, like, I know it's probably, it's fairy tale stuff, but look at Leicester, who for years were up and down, up and down. And then once they got stable, they got a good run. And look, the Premier League they won was magical stuff, but they've built on that. They've built on that. Not happy to stay where they are. So
I tell you, the surprise package for me, I tell you, while we're here, has been Brighton. They've been very, very good.
Yes, currently fifth.
Yeah, they're in fifth place. But, and okay, you're going to say, like, Lallana has played a good amount of time for them, and I think that's the type of player they probably needed just to get that, to get what Burnley had, maybe that little bit of consistency to stay mid-table, to kind of, they didn't really have that. They're always floundering. Like, they should have been in the conversation, if you think about it. Like, any, the past 2-3 years, yeah, Brighton will be in your conversation.
Potter is a great manager.
Seems to be very good. Now, I think they can probably do again with a little bulking up. Okay, Neil Mopé up top is a great player, but, like, they're going to get rid of Connolly, aren't they? And it seems that way. And Welbeck, okay. Look, for us looking in, there's great Irish contingent there as well, in terms of Evan Ferguson, who signed from Bowes, Andrew Moore, who signed from Bray, and James Furlong. They've got Shane Duffy. So they've got good young players coming. Okay, Shane Duffy's not young, but they've got good young players that are scoring goals coming up as well. And Sanchez and goal. They've got a decent squad there. Like, and but they could probably do with getting one or two types of, like, Lallana in it. Maybe some sort of striker. I'm not sure who you'd bring in.
Still have Welbeck on the books, don't they?
They've Welbeck on the books. I tell you what they could do if they got rid of Connolly. Brighton could do a whole lot worse than getting Daniel Sturridge in.
Yeah, like a
just a seasoned pro,
an experienced,
might get you
seasoned,
you know,
Premier
somewhere between 5 and 10 goals a year. Maybe they could get another midfielder. That's probably about it, though.
Mm. You know, they're definitely off to a hot start. If I had to throw a bonus question in,
go on.
First manager to lose his job,
Arteta. No, not just Arteta. Not being funny, but I think that one of two things: Arteta goes or Edu goes. Because I think that interview that Edu did with Sky last week, I don't know if you saw it.
It's not great.
It was a bad piece of, I don't know who's holding to do it. I don't know whose idea that was. It was poor.
You'd like to think as well, he had a bit of, okay, we'll show it to you before we produce it, given the manner in which it's done. Like, it wasn't just like he rocked in for a random interview.
With Jeff Shreves, wasn't it? Like, was it Jeff Shreves that did it?
Yeah, and look, I've gone around the fences in terms of my opinion as to what's wrong with Arsenal. I think where I'm definitely at now anyway is we never replaced David Dean in 2007. You look at when he left, there's definitely been a falling down. Like, I've blamed Kroenke's, but, like, their owners at the end of the day, how much input do owners really have in the running of a club? They provide the finance, they make decisions or whatever, but the actual day-to-day running of the club, and the longer he's away from the club, the more enhanced Arsene Wenger's legacy is at Arsenal.
I just don't see it getting any easier for Arteta. So, do you know, just off the top of hand, right, I'm just going to ask you, do you know off the top of your head what the next 3 games are? It doesn't matter if you don't, but
They're not a good
right, well, I have them in front of me, right, but I want to ask you, without knowing who they are, how many points do you think Arteta would need from 3 games to keep him comfortable?
3 games. How many home and away games?
2 away, 1 home. So you're going away, home, away.
To be comfortable, he'd need 6.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to tell you, they're away to Burnley, home to Spurs, and away to Brighton. like those two away games are probably two of the trickier because of
all three of those games. Because well, look, to be fair, Brighton's less of a, this is going to seem counterintuitive, but Brighton's less of a tricky game because they're doing so well.
Brighton is less of a tricky game if you get 6 points ahead of it. If you all of a sudden get a draw against Burnley and the draw against Tottenham, you got 2 points in two games, you're going into an away game at Brighton.
But I do think if Brighton are languishing in the bottom and they're up for a fight, that's a for an Arsenal team, that's a tougher challenge.
Yeah.
But look, when we stick a pin, enjoy the fact that there's football every night this week.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Friday Premier League fixture as well. Champions League, Europa League. Don't have to sit through it on a Thursday night this year. It's Woo-hoo. Kind of a blessing in disguise, I think. And let's move on and quickly cover, I suppose, the NFL and its glorious return yesterday. Yeah. Fantasy footballers up and down the country must be sick or jubilant.
Did you have a good evening?
I'm on for a win. You think? Depends on how tonight goes.
So, a few questions for you, Sass. Here we go. So I've gone through, you know, I'm a rainy day fan when it comes to NFL and very much a headline follower.
You're getting better.
Yeah, a little bit. So the Bears, Justin Fields got some game time. And what I want to know is...
He had two attempts and a rush, I think.
What?
He had two attempts, pass attempts and a rush. He got 20 seconds. Game time. But yeah, go on, ask the question.
Justin Fields is not the fix to the Bears.
Okay.
It's more of a statement than a question, I suppose, but yeah.
Okay, well...
He's not enough to fix them, so...
But how long of a fix are you talking? Are you talking over the season? Are you talking over the next 5 years? Because they're very different statements and very different questions.
Okay, well, I'll throw this out with him. He's not enough after one game to fix their season. So if they were planning on over the next... Because we discussed it last week that we reckoned, I think, ballpark, it was somewhere between 4 and 6 games that we all agreed that Fields would be in.
It could be two.
It could be two now after today, after yesterday. But they need a hell of a lot more than Justin Fields to get on.
Arguably. They're up against what's been a top three defense for the last three or four, definitely under Sean McVay. That Rams defense has always been there and thereabouts. They don't have a legitimate running game at present. David Montgomery has flashes, but it's nothing too serious. What they do have is a legitimate, if he had a decent quarterback over the last 5 years, a legitimate top five wide receiver in Allen Robinson. And look, they're rookies, so as famed as he was and how the fact that he was the best college to NFL prospect. Trevor Lawrence threw three picks last night. He threw three touchdowns. Regardless, if you're a rookie quarterback, you're usually drafted towards the top of the draft. If you're a high-end draft pick, and usually they're not great situations to walk into. Now, having said that, of the rookie quarterbacks drafted, I do think the best situation is a Justin Fields, Mac Jones for success. I think that Chicago Bears side, they've blown hot and cold over the last few years. They still have Khalil Mack on defense. I don't think it would be a stretch for them to have a winning record this season. Do they make it out of the NFC North? I don't know. You see, the Vikings struggled to got beaten by the Bengals. Jared Goff put on an incredible second half performance just to blow it all at the very end against the 49ers. And we've seen what Green Bay tossed up against the Saints. So I'm not 100% convinced. And look, it's week one's, don't overreact. But I'm not overly convinced that the NFC North is going to be as competent as we thought it would have been at the start of the season. So
okay.
I wouldn't rule him out.
Okay. Statement number two I would like you to comment on. The Chiefs have a weaker defense than the Titanic's bow.
I suppose...
It's kind of like Liverpool under Rodgers. We'll score four.
Did they ever, I think, was... is what I'd say to begin with. The Chiefs are a high power offense, and how they succeed is they ramp up the points and they put scoreboard pressure on you or clock pressure on you. So you start throwing the ball. But they played up against the Browns last night, who have a phenomenal running game.
Great game.
Love possession. And the Browns took the lead. So I think that Chiefs defense is suspect. They're just incredible at throwing up points. Like, even the year they won the Super Bowl. Now look, it was, if you go back to, I think it was the, I don't think it was the wild card, but I think it was the division round. They played Deshaun Watson led Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans were 24-0 up after the first quarter. Now, obviously, Kansas came back and won, and won comfortably, and Mahomes did some freakish stuff in a 10-minute period and probably threw for 4 touchdowns. But I don't think they ever had a great defense. They are always able to mask it because of how high powered their offense is. Like, if Mahomes, you've Travis Kelce, you've Tyreek Hill, anyone else that can run fast under that ball, there's a lot of money tied up in the offensive side of the salary cap. So it's not,
I was just going to say, how can you have so much money and have such a terrible, terrible defense? It's, as you said, though, it's because the money's tied up in the offense.
Tied up in the offense. And you've tied up Mahomes now for 10 years. I do think that's going to prove to be a good contract, but I think it could be a great contract years 1-4. Could be a poor contract years 5, 6, and 7. I think it could be a great contract years 8, 9, and 10.
Last dance style.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then, what happens if they lose Mahomes? Should he get injured? Are they going to...
They rebuild. They have to rebuild.
No, but even mid-season, they're 4 or 5 games in. This season, Mahomes gets an injury and puts him out for the year. Are they done? Is that them done out of any playoff type this week?
Yeah, it probably is. Like, depending on when he gets injured, if it's like 10 games in and they've won 9 of them, they'll probably make the playoffs at a wild card berth, but they'll be cannon fodder. I just... Like, the AFC... Like, they played the Browns, obviously, in the playoffs last year, and they won in the end with the backup quarterback. But I just don't think... Yeah, I think Mahomes is the offense.
Yeah.
Do you know what they say? Brady is a system QB. That's the excuse for the Brady haters like myself. I'm joking. Patrick Mahomes is the system. Okay. So if he's gone, they're in a lot of trouble.
Statement number 3. And a lot of people enjoyed watching last night as the Kansas and Browns game. But the Browns are an OBJ away from contending.
Not sure I agree with it. I think they are a contender at present.
Okay.
I
know OBJ got a lot of, for listeners that don't understand, OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., he came out last night to do the warm-up, did a bit of sideline warm-up, and then was declared an active after kickoff, I believe, or very close to kickoff.
Yeah. Nightmare if you had him in your fantasy squad. Too late then to change as well, because it wasn't at a kickoff. I think where the Browns are missing, and I say this as someone who's genuinely rooting for them and wanting them to do well, I think the Browns are a proficient Baker Mayfield away. So what I mean by proficiency, Mahomes threw for 357 yards, Baker Mayfield threw for 321 yards last night.
Nice. But Patty
Mahomes had 3 TDs. Baker Mayfield had an interception.
Okay.
And Baker Mayfield at 0 red zone attempts. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter because they have such a strong running game, but I do think Baker Mayfield needs to produce. I want him to succeed. There's been flashes. He's always going to put a target on his back because he has that personality, that confidence level or whatever, but he needs to produce. And if he can produce, I think they've got tight ends as well. They've Austin Hooper, they've David Njoku. And they've good wide receivers. Even if OBJ is injured, OBJ hasn't really worked in Cleveland, let's be honest. He's there 3 seasons. Jarvis Landry is a good receiver.
Would you ever see, when you say about, could you see the Browns trade Mayfield over the next 2-3 seasons for a, maybe a more seasoned QB that could do something a little bit more with him? I'm not sure the Browns fits Mayfield and OBJ at the same time.
I don't think OBJ fits Cleveland.
I think he fits Miami.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Miami and LA, he needs a... Look, and Ohio is a mad football state, so it's probably a poor phrase, but he needs that big city. Mm-hmm. Like, he was brilliant in New York because it's New York.
Yeah.
So he needs to be the star. Baker, could he be traded? Potentially, because in reality, all the Browns really need from Baker is that mid to low level. Now, last night was a poor example, but all they really need from Baker is Ryan Tannehill. What Ryan Tannehill has been for the Tennessee Titans for the last two seasons. Behind an unbelievable running game, look, let's rule out last night, but a solid running game, a good game manager, a couple of touchdowns here and there, maybe a rushing touchdown here and there. That's all they kind of really need from him for them to be successful. So that's, I would say it's more on Baker. Interesting stat though, before any Browns fans start to lose there.
Hit me.
That is the 17th straight season the Cleveland Browns have lost their season opener. The next closest is 9 preseason openers lost in a row. So they don't do well in the first day of the season. 17 years waiting for that first win of the season on the first day, basically, for the Cleveland Browns.
Statement numero 4. Jameis is the answer for NOLA. So New Orleans, the Saints... Jameis.
I know what NOLA means.
LA, Louisiana.
Cool the Jets.
Okay.
Cool the Jets. Look, he looked brilliant. I'm not very surprised. Like, you hear all these reports of the laser eye surgery, but the laser eye surgery wasn't over the summer, it was last summer. And he wasn't deemed good enough to play last year. Under what look evidently was a shadow of his former self, Drew Brees. He's had a good start to the season. Good first game. But it wasn't just his eyesight that led to all those interceptions in Tampa. He is a bit wild, a bit... throws things that aren't always there. So, good start to the season. Let's see how it goes from here on out. They have a relatively easy game next week. Not relatively easy. They're playing Carolina, so it's a divisional matchup. They labour to a victory over the Jets, who don't look like they're up to an awful lot this season. So he could start, he could have a good start, but we'll see how he progresses. Especially he's a Florida man, so he's played in Tampa. He's played in New Orleans now. So let's see how he goes when he has to go out to those cold weather stadiums in the back end of October, November. But look, it's a good start.
Well, it's a serious win that moves me on to my next statement. Or question. Did Rodgers' off-season drama impact how badly... Well, the offense struggled for the Packers, but the Packers in general.
Because
we discussed this last week, didn't we? And we were kind of said it's going to go one of two ways.
Exactly. Obviously, very cognizant of the fact that it's just been the one game as well.
But it was a bad game.
Potentially. Do I think it's something he can't overcome? No. But you do have to start to, as much as I am a fan of the talent, I kind of do seem to like him because he seems like an intelligent bloke, you do have to question the attitude when he still only has one ring. Bearing in mind, they won the Super Bowl in 2010, I think. They didn't have a great regular season. They were 10-6. They kind of weren't expected to do much in the playoffs, and they just got on a run. So, any side that just gets on a run, you do kind of question if they don't get back to the Super Bowl, if that makes sense.
If you were in head office at the Packers, would you have gone for a QB1? Is that what would have been trading up to try and get a Fields, a Lawrence? Would you have done the best you could, just given his age and given...
They've invested in Jordan Love. All these issues stem from last season. He wanted wide receivers, and they drafted Justin Love, who's not played a snap yet. Obviously, as an organization, they see something in him, but we've yet to see it. And look, this all different circumstances into how they were drafted, but where Justin Love is. Is exactly where Aaron Rodgers was at the start of his career. He was sat behind Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers actually dropped drastically in the draft. He's projected to be a high-end pick, and he dropped. thought he was going to be picked up by San Francisco. They picked Alex Smith. And he sat for 2 to 3 years behind Brett Favre, who is Green Bay legend. So we'll have to see what Justin Love does. Can you say, should they have traded him? Potentially. I think they signed Rodgers in an attempt to sign Davante Adams, who's now also holding out. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think the two of them players are providing a bit of doubt. It's not all on Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, no, he is probably.
For the purpose of the exercise, it's Jordan Love, isn't it?
Jordan Love, sorry. I said what, Justin?
Yeah. Cool. It's all good. So my bonus question for you, possibly with that last statement of mine, will anyone pick up Cam Newton?
Bishop Sycamore. There probably was a few sides you would have maybe taught, just as in case. I was thinking maybe Denver. Teddy Bridgewater looks very accomplished last night. I was thinking maybe Houston. Tyrod Taylor looked very good last night, albeit against the Jags.
He did look good, actually, Tyrod.
Potentially, if you were a side of the ilk of Atlanta, you could say, do you know what, Matt Ryan has those demons in his head from that day, and I don't think he's ever going to get them more, 4 years on, and he still hasn't got back to that level. Potentially pick him up and start the rebuild a year earlier. Or I was always thinking maybe, look, the Daniel Jones thing in New York just isn't working. And I don't see it working. So do you bring him in? It's wherever he goes, I don't think it's going to be a good situation for Cam, because it's going to be the move that starts the rebuild. So whoever does pick him up is ready to start rebuilding. So they'll bring him in and he'll start losing all his talent. So.
Okay. What age would he be now, Cam?
Cam, surprisingly young. I don't have a Google device in front of me, but I would say Cam is, I guess, early 30s.
Maybe Cam Newton is 32 years of age, so he's got 3-4 years in him anyway.
Minimum.
And I know there was relatively healthy too. There was reports actually after the Washington game that they might have been interested.
There's another great show, actually. Didn't even think of that. Obviously, Fitzpatrick has been placed on injury reserve. He could be out a while. But then Taylor Heineke did well in the playoffs and did well last night as well. I know they ultimately lost the Chargers, but Tyler probably got that one wrong as well. Heineke doesn't seem like a bad... Maybe you run him to the mill, and if he's not going to work, then... Because their defense is pretty much set. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
They've good players as well in Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, so maybe they're just a quarterback away.
Nice.
There's three potential land spots, I suppose, for Cam. Washington, Atlanta, and New York.
And if you were to pick one?
Atlanta.
Okay. Good stuff. Thank you, Sasquatch.
All right, so that's the English Premier League and the NFL kicked off. Obviously, we won't be getting too much NBA coverage. I know you're mad for us to get there, but we're still a few weeks away from that. Yeah, but what we are only about 2 weeks away from is a brand new competition in the United Rugby Championship. So, mano a mano, agree to disagree. The United Rugby Championship will be the best thing to happen domestic rugby since the inception of the European Cup.
Disagree.
Kane Farr.
I think we, on our taster podcast or episode, we did a little bit on it and, you know, what we thought about it and stuff like that. I feel like, and I'm repeating a little bit what I said at the time, the marketing seems to have dipped.
Bear in mind.
Oh, that, yeah.
This was the episode that disappeared.
Yeah, the episode that disappeared. The episode that never was. Yeah. We spoke a little bit about it before, prior to the pod, and I just feel like it started on such a high, and we were told Roc Nation was involved and Jay-Z is involved and all these American investors and all this sort of stuff. I think we also said it was very similar branding to Major League Rugby, and maybe we're shooting our load a little bit earlier or whatever, but we're saying that maybe there's some sort of connection cross water. Well, I was saying, I suppose, down the line. But I just feel like a lot went into the initial press release, and then it all seemed to fall fallow and not have kind of a lot of follow-up detail, and not kind of, I know they released new kind of crests for, not crests for everything, but emblems to represent them, and then there was the release of fixtures that never happened, and then the Scottish now teams are going mad because fixtures are on their typical club day, when in the past, I think, in, you know, the Guinness Championship or in the Pro 12 or whatever you want to call it, they got their Friday night games, whereas now they're being forced to play on a Saturday for television purposes, I think. So I'm not sure it's going to be everything it's cracked up to be. And I know you're a big fan. I'm not sure it's doing it for me just yet. Like,
yeah, look, I would say, I wouldn't say I'm on the fence. I'd say I jump both sides of the fence, depending on what mood I wake up in the morning. I see a lot of positives in it, okay? Obviously, you've mentioned the relationship with Roc Nation. Obviously, the company owned by Jay-Z, they don't tend to back scrubs. They heavily invest in a number of franchises and players in the United States. It's also, and this is the key point for me, it's heavily backed by CVC, which is a US-based private equity firm. And you kind of need to understand a bit about it to know where we're going with it. So CVC invested in the Pro 14. The relationship with Guinness was coming to an end. And they basically, they've started investing in a lot of European-based leagues and stuff like that. So they've invested in La Liga. They've invested in Formula One. In addition to the Six Nations, which a lot of rugby fans will be familiar. So in terms of field sports, they seem to be putting a lot of emphasis in rugby. I don't know whether that just aligns with their goals, considering they're an American company. I don't know why they've selected rugby, but it is important. Now, when they invested, there wasn't supposed to be the four South African sides. We had the two. We had the Cheetahs and the Kings. They've gone by the wayside now. So we now have the Bulls, the Stormers, the Sharks, the Lions. The more maybe storied South African sides. So obviously the quality of the league is going to jump up a little bit.
Do you really think that, though? I'm sorry for interrupting there, but you looked at when the South African teams came in, the last stage of the reign, whatever we used to call it, because there's not many name changes now, but do you think the quality actually came up? Because there were some trouncings.
No. What I'm saying is it has now. So the sides, the Cheetahs and the Kings, they basically were expelled, for one for a better term, from Super Rugby because they weren't competitive. But these four sides have left Super Rugby. So Super Rugby now is in a bit of a mess. It's going to be the domestic competition in Australia and Rugby Otera, which is New Zealand, obviously. The interesting aspect for the South African sides, they are eligible for the Championship Cup on the back of this campaign. So as of 2022, 2023, they're going to be eligible. We've discussed this now, obviously not on air because we lost the episode, but I do think this is down the path of, we're looking at a Rugby World Cup in 2023. Travel logistics aside, the time isn't an issue. Is it scope for South Africa to maybe enter into the Six Nations? That seems a bit wild, a bit out there, but kickoff times are going to be the same. South Africa is, obviously they're trying to mend bridges now with the Rugby Championship, but South Africa is very hurt over what happened during the COVID period. So obviously they went a year after winning the World Cup without a competitive fixture because of COVID, because of the outbreak of COVID. But what I know the South African Rugby Union are very upset over was the fact that the Argentinian rugby side was given the opportunity to quarantine for 14 days in Australia and then play the All Blacks, whereas the South African side weren't afforded that luxury. They feel completely neglected by SANZA, which is the union for New Zealand, Australia and South Africa. And hence, they've pulled out the Super Rugby Championship and have made the move to Europe. Look, logistically, in the midst of a pandemic with various different COVID regulations and the travel complications, it's probably the worst time they could ever choose to do it.
Mm.
They're not going to do that unless there's a good reason. I do have concerns on a number of issues. One, salary cap issues have been long been an issue in the Pro 14. So the Irish sides are paid far superior to the Scottish, Italian and Welsh. If you look at the salary cap situation across Europe, France obviously is the highest per side. Then it's ourselves, then England, Scotland, Italy, and finally the area that's struggling the most is the Welsh regions. Where is South Africa going to come in there? They're definitely going to be top three. So are they going to look to introduce a salary cap across the league? If not, I see the Welsh side struggling. I see the Italian side's definitely struggling. I know, obviously, Benetton won that Rainbow Cup, but that was a shadow boxing exercise. Another huge issue for me is the stadium quality discrepancy. There's a serious difference in Loftus-Versfield Field, which would be the home of the Bulls. It's an incredible stadium. It's up a high altitude. It's like one of those places you have to play as a professional player before you die. Versus Rodney Parade in Newport or even Energia Park. There's a colossal discrepancy. So they're my kind of areas of concern. Look, there is a lot. Like, increased branding. You also have guaranteed terrestrial coverage, which is a huge... Like, the Super Championship doesn't get that in New Zealand or Australia. It's still pay-per-view. It's behind a paywall. That's a massive opportunity in all the countries it exists. I think the United Rugby Championship will get this year, next year, maybe the year after, won't be what the final product will be. I think it'll probably go back to 14 teams. I don't think the South African side is going to lose one. I'd be concerned about ourselves, but I definitely think we're probably going to lose. I don't think they'll allow us to drop to one Scottish side. I'd have concerns around the Italian sides, and I definitely have concerns around the Welsh side. So I think you could lose an Irish side, and you could lose one of the Italian or one Welsh side.
When you say that, what you mean within the competition moving forward?
Yeah.
Essentially, are you saying this is a ploy to turn the URC to the new Heineken Cup?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because European rugby will forever be reliant or will require French and English sides. It just can't. As much as South Africa are a world force, you just can't have a league that big which has five nations now.
Okay, let me rephrase it then. Do you see the URC becoming a league version of European rugby?
Pretty much, yeah. It is effectively a rugby attempt at the European Super League.
So you see, Saracens enter. You see a Saracens enter when they actually might be able to break the financial fair play rules essentially that they had in the Premiership. You see 2 to 4 French teams entering again, massive wage. Is that the way you see it going?
That I don't know.
It would make sense. It would seem like why they invested.
I think it'll become a smaller league. I'm not sure if it becomes a smaller league to get it become a bigger league. So I think, look, we've all watched Pro 14 games. They've done some nice things in terms of like the fixture list. I know the Scots aren't happy. That's more of a cultural thing than anything they probably ever envisaged. But like, they've avoided fixtures on weekends when they know there's going to be international. So you're not going to see Leinster be against Benin.
Yeah.
They're going to try and have
the best
internationals. Now, that probably puts a lot of pressure on the IRFU and their central contracting.
Goes back to a conversation we had on the Barstools where we spoke about a possible IRFU representative side in the Premiership or the Championship. I don't know if you remember that one, or a fifth province style team.
Potentially, we need to get comfortable with the fact that central contracting was brilliant, has been brilliant for us, but it may be coming to an end, and that may be for the betterment of Irish rugby. I don't see how it's harmed New Zealand rugby, Australian rugby, South African rugby to have their best talent playing in Europe. So I don't see why it would be to our detriment to have our best talent playing in France. Or playing in New Zealand or wherever, I think you add extra strings to a player's bow with playing in different cultures, different competitions. So
maybe okay, stuff. Let me raise you then. So let's revisit our little thing about what we spoke about marketing purposes and the Major League Rugby and possibly down the line being somewhat intermingled with this. So 2 years time, we end up with French teams, English teams, possibly in the URC. Combination of Major League Rugby, and all of a sudden you've got your Irish superstars possibly playing the rugby out in New York.
Well, there is a lot of Irish players in the Major League Rugby, as is.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm saying
that
they...
Well, I would counteract that by saying, if I looked at it with a clinical view, a cynical view, I would say Major League Rugby was an attempt to dip the toe of the American audience into rugby, because obviously there's the San Diego, what is it, Makito plays in the San Diego Guillotinis or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's regional based, so you're like, okay, that's my side, I'll start falling into rugby. And then if you look at the MLS, like every MLS fan has a European team that they support.
Mm-hmm.
They would support LA Galaxy, but they'd also support Barcelona. So why would this be any different?
Yeah, maybe, but maybe you open it. It's a proper, you have Major League Rugby, but are playing for an actual world championship, not baseball players playing for the world championship that's only based in America, or the Super Bowl is a world championship that's only based in America. Do you know what I mean? So it's a more international brand if you tie it all into one. It would be the first of its kind to ever be more like an international based league, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Across a couple of continents.
There's reasons why that has never worked before, and it is just travel logistics and stuff for this. Like, I mean,
yeah, but is it not easier? You can get to New York and play a game in the weekend, the same as you could go to Johannesburg and play a game, if not easier.
But can a fan go to New York to watch a game when the biggest commute they've had has been to Italy? They've probably never gone to Italy.
Mm-hmm. But the Guillotines are playing in the Coliseum. So if you have Leinster going over to play in the Coliseum, do you end up with a full stadium rather than maybe a third filled, quarter filled stadium?
No, you probably get Irish Americans that go to see it, but you probably don't get Irish fans that travel over, because how long is the flight to LA? Is it 12 to 16 hours?
Yeah, it'd probably have to be an East Coast league or an East Coast side.
Yeah, and look, that's, I don't think that's affordable for the average rugby fan. Not on a week in, week out basis. So you say, okay, this is brilliant, I can go to LA, but that's my only game I'm going to see this year.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But yeah, they're going to have the same problem with South Africa, although they'll have the fan base there. That's what you're saying, pretty much, isn't it? Like, they're going to fill the stadium regardless.
See, the one factor in South Africans and why I think it will work is there is a colossal amount of South Africans based in the UK. Okay. Based in Ireland, based in France, based in Italy. Do you know, and the Cheetahs and the Kings didn't really work because they weren't storied kind of sides. They weren't
the minnows.
Whereas these four sides, maybe to a lesser extent the Lions, but the Sharks, the Stormers, and the Bulls, they are to people from those regions what Kilkenny Hurling is.
Yeah, the rugby royalty. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, it's definitely going to be interesting. Is it exciting? Yes. Is it scary? Also yes, is where I'd put it. But I'd say definitely stay tuned. You're going to have it on your terrestrial TV, so you're going to have an RT, you're going to have TG4. If you're lucky enough to have Sky and Now TV, all games are on Premier Sports. Now, I think the Pro 14, one of the big fall downs over the last number of years, it was on Air Sports. No one wanted Air Sports that could get away from having it. And it was also geo-locked, so if the Ospreys were playing the Scarlets, I couldn't watch it. Do you know, or I'd struggle to watch it. So that's a good thing now that, look, if you're playing your Sky subscription, you get Premier Sports, you can watch every single game.
I think they do need a bit of a revamp on their whole, like, we'll see from the first game when it's out, like, the commentary teams, the presenting team before the game. You look, Premier Sports haven't been great at that. They do get good fixtures, but they don't.
The only thing I would say, if anyone managed to watch the United Ronaldo game, it does look like Premier Sports have received significant financial investment into their product. The production, albeit it was Neil Lennon and Stephen Kelly, I think, as pundits, but the actual production around it, the graphics and stuff seem to have got a lot better. So maybe there's been a bit of investment for the United Rugby Championship, maybe. Potentially.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Okay, well, when we park it there, we'll revisit it the weekend of the 24th when it kicks off back into our screams and back into our lives. So let's finish it up with a few. Have you seen this? Because I think there's been a few stateside over the weekend. First one I'm going to drop in is a franchise that was desperate to avoid any headlines this season. Kicked off with a headline in week one. So FedEx Field, the home of the Washington football team, Red Hogs, Flying Admirals, whatever they're going to call themselves, no one knows. But they had a sewage pipe burst in the middle of the game that flooded fans. And went all over, went viral on social media. So not a good look for Washington week one.
Yeah, there was a lot of booze.
Anything else you've seen from the week, coach?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the one, I think it went viral as well, was the cat at the Miami Hurricanes college game. So Miami Hurricanes obviously have a massive following, and the cat's hanging on to the top tier, and it's fallen and been caught in nothing other than the American flag. They've caught the cat in, and you know, they've raised it up like the, I don't know, Simba got raised in The Lion King and had a big cheer. Now, but I suppose it's a dramatic fall. It is. It's about 30 feet. And you would wonder how the cat got into the stadium. I don't know if anyone's ever, that listens to the show, has ever been to that stadium, the Hard Rock Stadium. It's not exactly, you know, in the middle of the city centre. So it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So you'd wonder why the cat was in the stadium. I initially thought maybe it's some sort of college. They have weird college ritual kind of thing, ritual-y type of things over there. So yeah, that concerned me a little bit, but yeah, for those who haven't seen, have a watch. It's, I suppose it's good knowing now that you've listened to us that the cat doesn't die, so it's probably a little bit easier to watch. So yeah, the cat survives, so do have a watch. It's, I suppose, one of them things that draws you in.
And this was finally, just to briefly touch on it, the, speaking of cats, the augmented reality Carolina Panther, pretty cool to see. Look, it's good to see organizations pushing the boundaries on the fan day experience. Not really too lucky over the last 18 months to get out and get to games. We're starting to come back, so hopefully we'll see similar investment in game day and fan day experience. It's always good to see sides pushing the boundaries. I think we'll leave it there.
Yes, sir.
That's all from me.
It's all from me.
Thank you and good night.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.